Zone 720 WGN.
Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
The world can be a scary place sometimes.
You're zipping along in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden, ha! A couch.
But don't worry. We know someone who can help you survive your week.
Noonan steps in.
He'll help you deal with problems of the modern world.
Yes, because oft times, naked men will show up in your house, shower, and then make eggs.
He has all the answers.
He is one for four.
And when all else fails,
I can do 1,500 jumping jacks.
So sit back, relax, and allow Brian Noonan to drop some knowledge.
Good job, Noons.
Right here on WGN.
Ho, ho, ho! This is great!
Boy, I tell you, it gets out of hand in a hurry.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Yes. Oh, I know. I'm as surprised as you are that we're here. This was a last-minute schedule change, but we are back at our usual spot and very, very happy to be here. Big show planned. Very special. I'll announce why in just a moment, but I must tell you that it is always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That, of course, is the phone number. When you call in, you will be talking to executive producer Ariel Halpern. He is in for the always vacationing Cody Goff. The same rules apply. Be nice to him. That's how you get to me. That's it. There's no two ways about it. That same number, 312-981-7200. That's the text number. I don't know how it works. Two numbers, one number, two different things, whatever. You know that. Facebook and Twitter, Brian Noonan Show. You can keep up with us on that. Big show. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about the government shutdown, of course, because that is happening and projected to go well into the week. So there's good news for the country. We've got that going on. We are going to talk to Michael Gemma from Haymarket Brewery and Pub. They are part of an unbelievably cool project that craft brewers across the country are taking part in. So we'll talk to him about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about tipping, because nothing says the holidays like, oh, who do I tip? Do I owe this person a tip? What's going on with the tipping? We'll do all that. Are you forcing your daughters to give hugs over the holidays? That's not good. And then at 5 o'clock, you may ask us anything. Who is the us? Say, well, we don't really know Ariel. We could ask him questions. We don't know too much about him. We know you, Brian. No. By us, I mean myself and my very special co-host today, who, if you have been listening to me since my tenure began on WGN sometime in the late 50s, you've heard not only her mentioned at the beginning of my run, it was just a quote-unquote daughter, because I was trying to maintain an air of security around her and protect her from the backlash that was sure to come from being my progeny. But now you've known her in the last couple of years as my daughter Molly, my pride and joy, the young woman who is now a resident of New York City and has come home for the holidays. And I said to her, listen, I'm doing a show. You're kind of a ham. You want to come in and be the co-host. So she is here. Welcome.
It's me, everyone. Hello. I didn't know if my mic was on.
Your mic is on. Of course it's on. I'm a professional broadcaster. We're here in the Allstate Skyline studio, of course, high above the Chicago River. And yes, your microphone is on. It's good to have you. Now, as I said, people know, because I've talked about you from my first show here, low 11 years ago. And so now that you are a grown woman, you can, you know, come in and speak for yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know if you really needed to keep the air of security. I never knew if that were, you know, a real thing. But then I got some spooky friend requests once you started using my name.
Yeah.
So turns out it was a good thing.
It was a good idea. So because when I started, you were only 11 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, 11 years old.
Yes.
So you were still a young child, and I didn't think you needed to be harassed by people and
You're
have
right.
people going, hey, hey, are you Brian Noonan's daughter, the guy on the radio? I hate him.
That is
so now
most
I hate you.
People speak, yes.
That's how a lot of people sound. People say those kind of things. And then I did that for mom too, but now, you know, now I figure you're old enough. Plus you don't live here anymore. So you, you're just kind of free
on the streets of New York now.
Right, you're just wandering around New York. So obviously, I've talked about every aspect of your life with regards to how I've screwed it up and made my ham-handed attempts to be a passable father. But you know, now you're a college graduate. You're working in New York. Can you tell us what you're? Well, I know what you're doing. You don't have to tell me.
What if I had a separate job and I now live on air?
What if?
Surprise!
Wow.
That would be amazing.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah. That would really be. That's real. That's the stuff that matters.
Wow.
Yeah. That's our new slogan. The stuff.
I'm coming back next week with a new job. But yeah, I work at the Dr. Oz Show in New York. That is new as of 3 weeks ago. I'm an office production assistant there, which basically means I just do anything and everything that people need help with. It's a good way to learn, so I'm excited to be there.
How is it living in New York? Now, you obviously, everybody, and for those who don't know, those who are listening for the first time, I don't know where you've been for the last 11 years, but really should catch up. You lived in New Orleans for 4 years going to school. What's the difference now living in New York other than the filth? But there's a lot of filth in New Orleans too.
Yeah, well,
it's more fun though. The filth is more fun.
I mean, New Orleans and New York are probably the two most opposite places. Just because in New Orleans there's just a sense of relaxation and happiness and joy and people just want to hang out and whatever, and New York is, you know, every cartoon you've ever seen is accurate. So it's different, but I mean, I like it. I'm starting to like it more now that I have my new job. It's been a roller coaster journey so far in New York, but you know, it's okay now.
And now you're home for the holidays. I remember coming home from the holidays in college, and then I lived here afterwards, but it's difficult to transition from being an adult on your own to being back in your parents' house, I can imagine.
Guess, but also everyone sort of treats you like a queen because you're only here for, not at home really, but other guests.
Other people.
When you walk into a large gathering, people are like, "Oh my god, you came all this way for me!" And then they have gifts and candies, so it's pretty fun.
People are giving you candies
constantly.
That's very nice.
It's fun. I mean, I'm glad. I also am lucky because I still have basically the winter break that I had in college because the show is on hiatus.
Yes.
So I have two long weeks, which is awesome. So I didn't really have an adjustment period between having a vacation and then being an adult.
Very nice. And are you ready to sit in and co-host a Major Market Radio show? You've seen the topics that we have to cover. Are you prepared for the Ask Us Anything segment after 5? People will... Now, we don't have to answer them.
Yeah, I feel like that could have been an off-air conversation between us probably, but what do we do if someone asks us something insane? Is it like a truth or dare where we just have to...
No, you don't have to answer anything. For instance, somebody already texted in a sore point that we can talk about later. Did the Flat Molly doll graduate too, or is it still around?
Oh, it's definitely graduated, I would say.
Flat Molly, for those who don't know, was a project that I did leading up to Molly's graduation, and I did a book. And Molly was not happy that I had asked some people to take a photo with Flat Molly.
Here's what happened. Everyone who's thinking, what a beautiful gift.
Yes.
You're right. But also everyone who's thinking, why would she be mad? I'll tell you. This began over a parents' weekend at Tulane. Roll wave. Tulane University is where I went, in case you didn't know. But parents' weekend is usually a time for full families to hang out and sit on the quad and, I don't know, talk about everyone's college years. But I was away for parents' weekend my senior year because I was working for Conan. I was PAing in New York, foreshadowing to my future life, hopefully.
Humble brag?
fully.
Yeah,
and
that's all
right. Anyways, my mom and dad decided that they were still going to parents' weekend because their tickets had already been booked.
Well, it's family weekend and we're a family,
I guess. But anyways, everybody that I knew started slowly texting me because they thought it was odd that my parents were there and I wasn't there, and people in my sorority who I had never spoken with, I guess, were giving mom directions to the sorority house.
There?
I don't know. My roommate,
well, your roommate
slash
was
friend
a narc. Your roommate,
the best.
Your roommate. We had to pick something
narc,
up at your house that you had asked us to pick up at your house.
Yeah, and she
and we happened to we arranged a time to be there. We didn't surprise her.
No, I wasn't. That part wasn't weird. But then she texted me and said, "Do you know what's going on?" And I said, my parents are there. And she said, no, they're not alone. They have brought a cutout of you. They're making people take pictures with it. They're on their way.
We're asking
people. They're on their way to the tailgate as we speak to share it with the world. So then throughout the day, I had more than one friend in college.
I'm not sure.
I had a good handful, and they all texted me to say, are you aware of what's going on? So it was a shock to the system for sure. But the final product, the book, was very nice. So, and it was senior year, so I had already made friends.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot more things that I've done that to embarrass you that will come out throughout the program. 312-981-7200. Before we go to break, Ken has been hanging on. He wants to jump on. Hi, Ken. Merry Christmas.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus for the rest of us, of course.
I always wanted to say that, Brian. Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
And I want to allow my grievances be known. Shame that you're not on every Sunday.
Well, sure.
It's a shame. I want to let management know about that. But anyway, I wanted to say it's a miracle, Christmas miracle, that you're on Sunday live.
Well, thank you.
So on behalf of that, we'll ring our little bell.
There you go. Well, thank
Angel
you, Ken.
Angel gets a ring, wings.
Very
and,
nice.
And your daughter's there, too, so
yes.
That's
Hi,
another Christmas miracle.
Yes, it is. It's very nice to have her home. Very nice to have her home. Well, Ken, I appreciate you listening.
So it's great to listen to you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate the sentiments. I appreciate the support. Have a great Festivus and a lovely Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. It's Noonan, just the Noonan Show. Because there's more than one of us.
Plural.
Yeah, Noonan. Well, it's not Noonan's. That would sound dumb.
Well.
Noonan.
All right.
Well, we should have talked. Listen, on-air meetings happen on the air. Show meetings happen on the air because I don't have time.
They told me, ba-ba-ba-ba. A newborn king to see, ba-ba-ba-ba.
Brian Noonan, Molly Noonan, Christmas Eve Eve, 720 WGN. I have to say, Ariel Halpern is sitting in, and he is running the bump music today. And I said to him, listen, Ariel, if you could just do some Christmas music. And he said, ooh, I know some of the big ones. I don't know a lot of Christmas tunes, so it'll be exciting. It's Ariel's Christmas Bump Challenge to see what he comes up with as the day goes on. I have faith in you. I've heard good things. Dean Richards spoke highly of you, so you know, don't choke. That's all right. I'm saying. You don't. I'd say you have big shoes to fill, but everybody who knows Cody knows that would probably be an exaggeration.
That was a good one, though. That was a good first.
That was a good one. That's, you came out of the box strong. So.
That was just a quick Google of Christmas music, and that's what came up first.
A classic Christmas Google.
Yes, that was very good. So keep it up. Very nice job. Nice to have you. Welcome. You've only
Thank
been
you.
At WGN, what, a day and a half?
Yeah, maybe about an hour.
Hour. That's very good. This is your fourth show?
Yes.
All right. How have you? So Dean was your third. Who was your first?
Frank Fontana was my first.
Oh, Frank Fontana. He's a taskmaster.
He couldn't have been sweeter.
All right. That's what I meant.
And then my second was Patty Vasquez.
Okay.
And she was great, too.
Okay. And then Dean.
And
so
then
you
Dean.
Had three good ones in a row.
Yeah. And then you and Molly. And
yeah, that's going to be.
So three good ones in a row.
Yep. Three good ones in a row.
No, I heard you were the most fun.
People are drunk. That's why I ply them with alcohol when they produce for me, just so they keep my secrets, Ariel. That's how we do it. And Haymarket Brewery coming in, so I'll keep my streak of getting new producers drunk and quiet. Keep that going. HR, you didn't hear a thing. Now, Molly is here. This is, again, I keep saying it's very exciting because I think it is. It's good to have you. Has there been, I remember only one thing. In all the years that I've been here at WGN, that you told me I could not talk about. Most of the time, you were pretty cool about things that I talked about, and I don't know how many of them you heard, if you heard back from people. But there was only one thing that you told. Do you remember this? That you told me for sure you cannot talk about
I
this.
I think I will give some context, and you tell me if I'm headed in the right direction.
All right.
I'm thinking. Marching band.
Yes.
High school.
Yes.
The summertime.
Yes.
A bowel movement.
Yes. Let's not get graphic.
Well, I just, that was.
You just did.
That was a key in the story and
right.
It's over. But yeah, I was a sophomore, I think, in high school and somebody.
It was a great story.
It was a funny story.
I couldn't wait to tell it.
Part of being in marching band.
Was that in the pool?
School, it was on a picnic table.
Oh, picnic table.
Part of being in this marching band was going to an away summer camp. And the hot drama of that summer was that someone
made a dookie.
Yeah, let's go with that. On a on an outdoor picnic table, much to the chagrin of the leadership of the band. And there was I would call it a full-scale criminal investigation led to find out who was responsible for this, to no avail. And we were told, and I took this band very seriously at
you did.
The time.
Well, you should have. It was a very good
band. I was proud of it. But anyways, they told us that it was not a joke. We were not allowed to tell people about this. If
it was,
I don't know, a lot of warnings were given, listened big time. So I thought that if you went on the air and shared this story, as someone who didn't break the rules and as someone who had been clearly told, do not talk about this, I thought that the program would be shut down. I thought I would be expelled.
The band program or my program?
Just everything. I thought the world would stop turning. I thought I would surely be expelled. I would never go to college. I would never see the light of day. So I told you, please do not share this. But now, years later, you're welcome, everyone. Merry Christmas to you. That is a story from the vault of our lives.
Well, that was the fact that I was not allowed to tell it actually turned into a much better segment than the actual story. The fact that I could not tell and I had to hit around. So I didn't realize that the band had put the
government shutdown to silence the media. Yes, they said, don't share this with anyone. If this gets out, it will not be good for you personally,
it will
all
soil
of you.
The band?
You might say, yes.
Was
so,
that what it was?
I took it seriously. You're welcome, former band directors.
All right, well,
former peers, you're welcome, and you're welcome, current listeners, because it's out.
Yeah, so we can all live with it. The shame is, we got to shake off the shame. I forgot to mention that sometime in the 4 o'clock hour, I am going to give you a chance to go to Notre Dame Stadium to watch the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic. So you have to be listening because I have a trivia question to ask you. And if you answer that question correctly and can come down here to 303 East Wacker to pick up your tickets on an assigned day, then you'll be able to go to the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium. That'll be a lot of fun. Blackhawks and the Bruins. Remember, we went to one of those Winter Classics.
We did. We went to the stadium. I don't know if
stadium.
It was
Winter
Classic.
Oh, no, it was a stadium series. Yes.
It snowed the whole time.
It was about 4 degrees.
It was so fun. We had covered seats, and then we traded with a woman and a small boy because we wanted to be in the snow because we thought it would make us, I don't know, truer fans.
Tougher.
Or something.
And the small boy was miserable.
Oh,
so he was much happier.
It probably was not safe for him to be out there.
But people don't care.
So worth it.
All right.
It was very cold.
The first half hour of the show is over. Are you excited about that? Are you happy?
I feel like it was
we're almost there. A whirlwind.
It was
a whirlwind of activity. Don't make it sound too easy because then everybody's going to think they can do it. That's not true.
It's so quick.
Yeah, it does go quick when you're fascinating. All right. Somebody text her from the 630. Everybody should also listen to last year's podcast about the quest for eggnog. It is hilarious.
True.
That is true. Actually, because we didn't know we were going to be on today until Friday, there's a bonus podcast dropping today, too, as well.
Yeah. There is.
So there's a bonus podcast today where it also references last year's eggnog quest. So go back to WGNradio.com. Go to my page, of course. That's Noonan with two O's, three N's, and an A. And you can find all the past podcasts. And last year's Holiday Extravaganza podcast, without parallel. We should have actually quit after that one.
Think we should have just re-released that one this year?
Yeah, just keep... Oh, we should have just...
It is good, though. You should listen to them in chronological order, so you're in on all the jokes.
Yeah, you want to get all that.
But honestly, if you only listen to one, listen to last year's. It was amazing.
Well, because we're live today, so you don't have to listen to the podcast. But we hope you do. All right, we got to do this, then it'll be news time, WGN.
It's the end.
Off the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it.
All right. Ariel, bring a little Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Ariel's Christmas Bump Challenge. Two for two. Well, here's the thing. If we were doing a long show, like a six-hour show, it might be a challenge. I think he'll be able to Google enough big Christmas songs to
struggling over here.
Really?
I'm already struggling.
That seems impossible.
Yeah, that does seem impossible. You've only had two.
I just don't know what's popular in the Christmas music genre.
Here's the thing. At this point in time, every song has been redone by everyone.
Okay.
So if it's a Christmas song, you'll be safe.
All right.
Just do me a favor. Do not play Mariah Carey.
Oh,
All I Want for Christmas Is You. Don't play that one.
I love that song. Because that can be celebrated year-round.
No, I've had enough. I don't need it anymore. I could go the rest of my life without hearing that.
Put it on the do not playlist.
Yeah, put it on the DNP, Ariel. That's what I'm saying. The DNP, do not play. It's Noonan and Noonan, or Noonan. Brian Noonan, Molly Noonan.
We're still working on it.
We are. And then someone else has Mike Six. Somebody else has wandered in. He's early. Roger Badish is here. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Brian.
All right, there we go. Wow. Thank you, Roger. That's enough of that.
Okay.
So you wandered in early because you blew off the podcast the other night because you had to bowl. And, for those of you saying, hey, you said you were going to talk about the shutdown, we are going to talk about the shutdown, but it would have been rude had I let Roger sit here and not mention that he was here. So Roger is here as he, because we're off before you technically start.
True.
And so, because we're only here till 5:30, then it's Blackhawks pregame with Chris Bowden. So we will be leaving at 5:30. Don't cry. Be happy for the time we were here. Don't cry for the time we're not here. Be happy for the time we were here. Be grateful. It's a Christmas miracle.
Don't cry for me, Brian Noonan.
No, never cry for me. Listen, I do enough of that by myself. So you were bowling the other day, and you couldn't come in, but you did call, and we will not regale. That's something people need to listen to the podcast for.
When's that going to be on?
It should be out now.
Oh,
or it's coming out. It was scheduled before we found out we were here today. So Cody scheduled it before he left town. So it's dropping sometime today, as the kids like to say.
Boom.
Is that what the kids like to say?
I can only imagine.
I like to say what the kids
She's
like
not
to
a
say.
Kid anymore.
Well, she's young.
I am.
She's
I'm
a youngster.
Not, I'm not always in touch. What? I search Urban Dictionary a lot, you guys. It's frequented on my phone.
Is that right?
Ariel's nodding. He gets it.
You got it. There's a lot of it.
Sometimes people say things and I don't understand, but I want to be a part of the, the slang, the culture.
Sure, me too.
Urban Dictionary got me through college.
Yeah. Thank you.
See?
It's usually pretty gross, but I think some of the slang might be for things that are pretty gross. So anyways, stay informed, you guys. That's all I can say about that. But I do think it is dropping today. If you want to hear some real time bowling magic, tune in, because boy oh boy is there a bunch of
sure. If you've often thought to yourself, man, I like watching bowling on TV,
but I wonder what it would sound like
right
without
the
any images.
Yes, I want to see it without any pictures. This is the podcast for you. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, leave it
Use
at
your
that.
Imagination. You got to go back and listen. So that is that. So you'll be covering the news all night during sports.
Mm-hmm. We'll have the intermission updates with Chris, and then we'll bring you whatever time the post game.
Yeah,
post game ends. Then we'll have old time radio. And then
right up your alley.
Yep.
So
speaking of alleys,
you will be covering this. There will be no updates today on the government shutdown because
right.
And I tried. I called the network. As I like to do when I'm in, and I called the network and I said,
"Hey, took your call right away, didn't they?"
They did. And I talked to Katie, and she was very nice. And I said, "Katie, do we have anybody who's available for two ways to tell us about any updates?" She goes, "No, I can't. It's the holiday. I can't find anybody to do anything today or tomorrow." So the network news is on top of it too.
Yes,
very exciting that we can. But we have our own newsroom, which
that's right
should be on top. You guys will be on top of it, right?
Oh, of course.
But nothing's happening.
Nothing's
because
happening
because everybody
until
went
Thursday.
Home. Right. The first full day that everything will be affected is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's when everybody's supposed to come back to work.
Right.
We've got about 800,000 government workers who are going to be affected. Mm-hmm. About half of those are going to be furloughed, no pay.
Right.
The others are some are working without pay. It is crazy. So here's what the partial government shutdown means for Chicago. A lot of federal agencies that were affected last time, and now for those of you keeping score at home, this is the third government shutdown in a year.
That's right.
Unprecedented. If you think back to before, when our current president said that the fault of any government shutdown is the president's fault, he's changed his mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to listen. If you still want to argue those kind of semantics, I'm not going to argue with you now. The government is shut down. The Democrats are saying that if, in fact, it does drag on, as the president has intimated that it will, that as soon as they take control of the House, the shutdown will end. The crux of the shutdown, as you know, is the $5 billion that the president is asking for funding for the his pet project, the border wall, which up until the other day, the president seemed to be making some sorts of compromises. He seemed to be working in a bipartisan way, and compromise coming from the Democrats as well. Everybody for a moment, a brief shining moment, seemed to be working together. It may be the Christmas spirit. I don't know. Maybe the president's heart grew three sizes that day. I don't know what was going on, but things seemed to be going well. And then, I know you'll appreciate this, Roger. Mm-hmm. Our brothers and sisters in sound, some of the more conservative pundits out there, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, Laura Ingraham, began to bash the president, turning on him, saying that it was, if he didn't get this wall done, he would be seen as weak. He campaigned on this wall and he needed to get this wall done. And so all of a sudden then the president was like, wait a minute.
Oops.
Nobody's there. Nothing. And you remember the press con or the meeting he had with Pelosi and Schumer a few weeks ago, where he said he would be proud to shut down the government.
Right. He would take that mantle.
He would take that mantle for border security.
Right.
Well, now the president is blaming the Democrats. And listen, nobody is without blame. But I will say this. I find it odd that both sides have decided to go home for the holidays. Now, sure, it's Christmas. I get that. But now the president, to be fair, the president is staying in Washington. The first lady has come back from Mar-a-Lago. They are spending the holiday in Washington. But everybody else went home.
Right.
Place is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Click, turn off the lights. We're going, we'll see you. We'll see you about Thursday, like you said.
Right.
But Wednesday, everybody's supposed to be back in business.
That's right.
And we are not going to be back in business. So roughly 420,000 workers were deemed essential. They are expected to work unpaid. So if you're a TSA agent or one of these essential workers that are working unpaid, as a civilian, how do you think you would react if they asked us to come in here and do this job unpaid? We'd probably do a lackadaisical job. I know some of you are thinking, I don't think that's possible.
Your heart may not be in it.
Yes, your heart may not be in it. If you're a TSA agent, are you going to listen to people complain to you all day? Or are you just going to say, you know what, shut up, you're not flying.
Especially at this time of the year, it's packed at the airports. And after the holiday, on Wednesday, a lot of people are going to be flying back Wednesday and Thursday. Airports are going to be jammed.
Right.
The TSA agents are going to be swamped. I don't know what someone's attitude is going to be when they know they're working for no pay. And now, not just no pay, they're not going to get it back.
Now No. The House has said they are going to get back pay.
Oh.
That's all set. They're going to get back pay. But that's, still, you're going through the holidays.
Yeah.
If you're one of the 380,000 employees who are not being paid.
Furloughed.
You're just furloughed, which means go sit on the bench. We'll see what happens. That's rough.
Yeah.
Now, here in Chicago, we'll tell you how you will be affected. We'll talk about some of the things that are open, some of the things that are shut down. We'll do all of that and continue with, you're not getting politically active in this one?
Well, I'm learning is the thing, because I didn't realize that some employees were being forced to work without pay. I thought it was either you were furloughed or you were continuing to be paid, which I guess doesn't make sense because the government is shut down.
Shut it down.
But that's sort of a scary thought, actually. The TSA agents are a good example of that. I feel like if someone is working to protect citizens around the globe at an airport, they should be compensated and treated really, really well, especially, like Roger said, because there are so many people at the airports. So, sort of a scary thought.
Yep.
Government shutdown scary for a lot of reasons. Well, that's one new one.
There you go. All right, you went out on a limb there. I enjoy it. Let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't want a doll. Don't need
Ariel, bring in the heat.
Ariel, thank you. A lot of people wouldn't have gone for that song. A lot of people wouldn't have thought, this is the song that I should play for this bump. And you went there, and I loved it. That's a great song. Everybody, when you're done listening
Kudos.
To this, listen to the full thing.
Wow. Very nice.
Thank you, Ariel.
Good for you, Ariel. All right. The government shutdown, we're talking about this. Things that will not be affected by the shutdown. Of course, this is great news if you are traveling over the holiday. Flights will not be affected. Air traffic controllers, as we mentioned earlier, the TSA, they're still on their job, even though the shutdown has begun. Amtrak is still running. They're run by a government-owned corporation, so they will operate as usual. The border, of course, customs and border agents are going to continue working throughout the shutdown. You will get your Social Security check. Do not worry. No matter how long this goes, you'll get your Social Security check. Medicare will still be fine. Your benefits will still be provided. The Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, the WIC program, benefits are available for at least as long as some carryover money in the states or the federal accounts are available. So as long as there's the cash, you'll keep getting paid. The longer this shutdown goes, the harder it might be. But for now, you'll be okay. The Smithsonian Museums and Zoos open every day except Christmas. So that's if you were going to D.C. for the holiday.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't want things. Nobody wants things shut down in their backyard.
No.
Keep the Smithsonian open. Shut up.
And there's a reason for that. Is that they get additional funding.
Right.
They get separate funding, not all of it. But there's some places, like a couple of the parks in California, maybe one that I remember reading, actually gets money from another source.
Right.
They're able to open with a skeletal staff. So that's one reason why some of those places will be open.
Now, the best news, especially the eve of Christmas Eve, is that NORAD Santa Tracker will not be affected.
Right.
Tomorrow, kids, you can call. You can keep up to date on Santa. Everybody there at NORAD is a volunteer, and they get their funding from somewhere else for this. So do not worry. 1-877-HI-NORAD. We will be calling NORAD tomorrow during the afternoon program. We'll be keeping track of Santa throughout the afternoon. I am in for Rokon and Anna DeVlantis for the next 2 weeks.
That's great.
So we will be tracking Santa. No need to fear. That is that is fine. Now, here are some of the things that are going to be affected. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. How many pages?
I've got volumes. Well, we'll start. You mentioned national parks. Some may close. Some others may offer limited services. Last January during the government shutdown, again, this is shutdown number 3 for 2018.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! I'm getting sick of winning.
Is there room to go for 4?
No, because this is going to carry over into the new one. Unless they stop it Thursday,
yeah.
And then things go crazy, we do it for another weekend.
Just for a Christmas prank, as they start things up for 1 hour, yeah. And then they're like, "Whoa, just kidding."
You got some people come, they lock the door, and they go, they just open them and go, "Yeah, we're closed again."
And then boom.
It's like the old Mitch Hedberg joke. I went to a place, said it was open for 24 hours. The door was locked. The guy said, "Not in a row." State and local farm service centers will be closed, leaving no one to answer questions or assist farmers in signing up for programs under the farm bill that Congress had recently approved. Not good.
No.
Small business owners. More than 30 million small businesses will no longer have access to federally assisted loans and technical assistance since the Small Business Administration guarantees to back loans they will freeze. Home buyers, if you're trying to use FHA, you're out of luck. You're put on standby. If you have been the victim of a crime and you are waiting to receive money, you're going to keep waiting. Some food inspections will be delayed. This makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, because now we can all just eat rancid and diseased food. The Food and Drug Administration in past government shutdowns has had to delay some non-essential inspections.
That doesn't seem like a real thing. A non-essential food
inspection? Well, it says some not non-essential, which means essential.
So,
correct? If I'm a grammar Nazi, and I think I am, the sentence here in the article says, in past government shutdowns, they had to delay some not non-essential inspections, which means they had to delay some very essential inspections.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, hey, does my hamburger have a worm in it? I don't know. Government shutdown.
Right.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Ugh, I already haven't been able to eat romaine lettuce for months, and now this? Too much.
Yeah, it's too much. Public housing, if you live in public housing, you could be affected. The speed of some loans from FHA, again, was slowed, so that is not good. And this is... the services for violence against women, the Violence Against Women Act, stopped with the government shutdown. The law, which was considered a landmark bill in 1994, expired along with funding for other government agencies. So that's...
And that's not like a temporary thing. These are programs that receive annual funding, and without a new funding bill... which is what the shutdown is delaying.
Yeah.
A new funding bill at the end of the year, these projects do not get funded. So until Congress and the president can come up with a new funding bill, not just a stopgap, these programs are going to end.
These are, that's terrible because these are totally essential programs that are being stopped.
You'll get your mail. IRS and EPA aren't going to give specifics about how the Chicago workers would be affected. Many of the agency's local workers could be furloughed. During the last shutdown, the Lincoln Home National Historic Site closed for tours, briefly blocking visits to the home of the 16th president. So there you go. It is going to just, it's going to go, according to the president. He's tweeting that it's going to, it could last a long time. And he is not going to give in. And thanks to Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and Laura Ingraham for stoking that fire. And, you know, as a one legislator today called it a tyranny of talk show hosts. And I was like, ooh, how do I get involved in that? How do I start, you know, being a tyrant? I'm just kind of, I'm a go with the flow guy. Now I got to be a tyrant.
Yeah.
Who do I need to attack to affect some sort of change or to be perceived now as the shadow government? Because that seems to be what's happening. For all the talk of a deep state and all that, it's pretty obvious now who the deep state is.
Well, it's not that deep.
No, it's right there.
It's right there.
We can all see it. These talk show hosts are saying things, and the president is listening, and things are happening. And again, listen, we're not gonna debate whose fault it is, because it's the whole government's fault.
Right.
And are things going to change? Yes. Is the wall the answer? No. Let's not be silly. We're not going to build a wall. Is $5 billion way too much? Yes. You know.
Do we need additional border security? Probably yes. Right. But what form will that take?
Well, of course,
that's up to the politicians to decide.
Every country needs border security.
Of course.
There's no, you know, you can't just, you don't have open, we don't have open borders now.
No.
Do we have problems at the border? Of course we do. Are there ways it could be? But this is not a new problem with this administration. This is the border security problem has been ongoing. And until our representatives, who, whether you're Republican or Democrat, we voted these people in. They're supposed to work for us. Now they're not working. They're home while, 800,000 of their constituents don't know if they're going to get a paycheck. And somebody texted in all upset. Well, my father was in a union and they went on strike, so these people aren't getting any sympathy. That's a horrible thing to say. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
You know, the union decided to go on strike. That sucks.
Right.
You know, it sucks for the people who are on strike. It sucks for the people who are getting furloughed or having to work without pay. And if you can't see the difference, Merry Christmas. Really? You can't, you know, it's not exclusive. I can say that I feel bad for the people who are the government employees who are not getting their money. That doesn't mean that if you went on strike, and I know Ariel's going to have to get used to this, that I'll
go with the flow, Ariel.
I'll break. It's like Animal House. He's rolling. It's not mutually exclusive. That's what we'll say. All right, listen, after 4 o'clock, we're going to have a beer. And we're going to have a beer.
And a great segment to have after this.
That's exactly. We're going to chill out a little bit. Ariel's going to calm down. He's going to realize management's not listening. If I take the break 30 seconds late, they don't care. And if they do, you know, Merry Christmas to me. I'll get furloughed. All right, let's do this at its news time, WGN.
Life News. Thought.
Shift in vibes from All I Want Is a, what was a, the Pretty Dolly one to Silent Night.
You played Pretty Dolly?
No, I thought it was a hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus Christmas. Yeah, so that was, so Ariel doing well. All right, it's Brian Noonan, Molly Noonan, Roger Badish is here, and we welcome in Michael Gemma from, he is the Director of Operations from Haymarket Beer Company. Haymarket Pub and Brewery is...
Here's Eve. Five.
What's going on? There we go. You were still on the air. So you got Bob. And, we know Bob and Doug McKenzie coming up next. That'll be good. That's a good bump for a beer segment. We'll do that. All right. So Michael Gemma is the Director of Operations, as I started to say, from Haymarket Beer Company. The pub and brewery, Haymarket Pub and Brewery, 737 West Randolph, haymarketbeer.com is the website. Now, we have Michael in today, one, because you know on this program we love to talk about beer. We love to drink beer. We love to educate people about beer. But a lot of times people think, oh, it's silly. You're talking about beer. Today we're talking about beer because it actually is going to affect people's lives. Haymarket Brewery, along with over 1,500 breweries, is doing something phenomenal for people in this country. Michael, first of all, thanks for coming in today, and I really do appreciate it. Tell people about this cause and what you and all these other brewers are doing.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Resilience IPA is a recipe that Sierra Nevada came up with. Ken Grossman, the owner of Sierra Nevada, he sent out a call to action after the campfire in Northern California basically devastated a region almost the size of Chicago.
Yeah.
And he had 40 employees or so that lost their homes in this fire, so he wanted to do something bigger. And our industry is an amazing one in that we all try to work together.
Well, and I've heard that, but, you know, I've talked to many beer guys, and everybody says, oh, we're a community, we're a community. And a lot of times that's a word that gets tossed around, but not this time.
No, this is community in action, absolutely. When he sent out that call to all the brewers across the country to brew Resilience IPA, he asked that all proceeds, 100% of the proceeds from the sale of this at everybody's pub, go to a relief fund that he set up called the Campfire Relief Fund.
Okay.
So it's pretty awesome. It was pretty easy for us to say yes. We have not only myself, I'm from Sacramento, California. I was born and raised there. So hits a little closer to home. And
right.
After, you know, being 2,000 miles away, what can I do? What can we do as a community to help pitch in? And, you know, making beer seems like the obvious choice for us in this industry.
So was it now, and for people think, oh, Sierra Nevada, they're a big brewery. They were like one of the original craft brewers. They're the granddaddy of this whole craft brewing thing, or one of the granddaddies of it.
Yeah, definitely a stalwart.
And so he has this call to action. You guys jump right in. It seems like, on one hand, it seems like it should be a real easy sell. On the other hand, you're asking people to, you know, cut in their profits. Were you shocked at how many breweries, we said over 1,500, how many said, yeah, we're in, 100%, we're in?
I'm not shocked by the response. It isn't an easy decision by any means, especially for a lot of small breweries out there.
Well, that's it, because some of these breweries are not, their capacity isn't that great.
Right.
So to take a chunk of it and say, we're giving it all to somebody else, but
yeah,
it goes back to that community.
We're projecting that we'll be able to donate about $13,000 from this batch of beer to the fund and, you know, other breweries that could make or break. So
yeah,
not an easy decision to make for these breweries, but definitely one that is.
And now I know you guys, the craft brewers, you all talk and you help each other with different things. It's got to be unusual for somebody to just give over a recipe. Because Sierra Nevada, were they making this prior to the fires, or is this a beer that they started out? I thought I read that they had been doing this kind of before the fires, too. The beer, not the cause.
Sure. You know, I'm not entirely sure about the origin of the recipe itself, but it's a classic West Coast style.
Okay.
The name itself actually came from a different brewery.
Oh.
So they had an agreement with them when they had announced this. To use the name itself, which is pretty awesome. Another example of how we work together in times of tragedy to help one another out.
And so if I get a Resilience at Haymarket and I'm somewhere else around the country and I see, oh, Resilience is on tap here, it's going to be the same beer, right? Because it's Sierra Nevada's recipe, correct?
Theoretically, yeah.
But yeah. It's like McDonald's. You expect it to be the same everywhere, but every brewer's got their own thing.
There were several breweries, too, that used it as the recipe as a guideline
and
kind of put their own twist on it.
Yeah.
But the spirit of this batch of beer is the same. We're hoping to raise a lot of money to benefit those, the thousands that are displaced, still trying to figure out where they're living. There's still arguments over where they're going to put the FEMA trailers so that we can, you know, move forward with recovery.
It's unbelievable.
Has your group done this type of thing before, or is this kind of a first time of effort?
you know, it's on a national scale as far as this industry is concerned. It's it's the first I know of as far as a mass fundraising campaign based around one single event. So that part's pretty amazing.
Yeah, now, it is.
And it for a whole industry to come together like this is phenomenal. Are you? I know it's on tap at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery.
Is it
in cans too, or just on tap?
Just draft.
Okay, just draft. So go over, get a couple pitchers, enjoy it, and then Uber back, because not only are you going to enjoy some great beer in a nice environment, but you are actually helping people. Because again, this is not a portion of the proceeds. This is 100% of every Resilience IPA that you sell is going directly to the people who need it.
That's correct.
Which is phenomenal. And you know what? That's how that you're cutting out all the middlemen, all the ages, you know, all this. It's like, here, we earned this. Here, take this.
Yeah,
help yourself.
It goes beyond that too. Even the suppliers where we get our ingredients from are contributing as well.
Oh, really?
And helping to donate those.
Man.
So it's all across the board. It's definitely a team effort.
So for people, just nuts and bolts, we hear West Coast IPA. For those who are not well-versed in that, what is a West Coast IPA and what can they expect when they come into Haymarket and get a Resilience IPA?
You're going to get a citrusy, piney aroma and flavor, good hop bitterness, delicious, 7.5%.
Ooh. All right, well, we'll have to pour some more then.
Yeah.
7.5%.
I'm going to have to take some time off before I go do the news again.
Nah, just do it.
Okay.
It's hockey.
It won't be any difference.
Yeah, people, it's going to be hockey. It's going to be fine. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk more with Michael Gemma about Haymarket. And Haymarket has just released another beer that I am excited about because this is my time of year, and I love the dark beers. But you need to get to Haymarket Brewery. Haymarket Pub and Brewery, 737 West Randolph. How long do you expect the Resilience IPA to be around? How much do you have? Do you have enough for, you know, if people wait till the end of the show, will there still be enough?
Well, I mean, it's definitely going quick.
Yes.
People are awesome for recognizing the benefit.
So get over there quick. What are the hours? What are the hours today? And, like, are you open tomorrow, Christmas Eve?
We are. We'll be open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Today, tomorrow. And then we open at 5 p.m. on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you can get in and you'll feel good about yourself. You're helping somebody else out while you're enjoying a great beer. Get over there. You can get all the information about Haymarket at haymarketbeer.com. We'll talk more with Michael and find out the history of this place. In case you haven't been to Haymarket, you don't know what you're missing. Calendars.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks.
That's a surprise. It is Brian Noonan, Molly Noonan, Roger Badish, and Michael Gemma, the Director of Operations for Haymarket Beer Company. Haymarket Pub and Brewery is at 737 West Randolph. We were talking about Resilience IPA, which the head of Sierra Nevada asked craft brewers around the country, hey, can you help us? We're in the county, Butte County, where the campfire devastated the town of Paradise. Hundreds of people left without a home, 85 people dead. They're starting to rebuild, and over 1,500 breweries across the country participated in this program. They are making Resilience IPA. 100% of the proceeds from the sale of that beer at Haymarket and every other participating brew pub across the country is going to help these victims. So if you can get into Haymarket, go in there and get the Resilience IPA while you can, because, listen, it goes fast. Did you have, Molly, you had a question?
Well, I was just asking beforehand how the end of this initiative worked. So I wanted to know if there was a set end date for this beer to be sold, or if every brewery is responsible for making a certain amount, and then, you know, whenever it's gone, it's gone. And that's sort of what you explained, right? That it's just sort of an ongoing process until everything's sold.
Yeah. So each brewery is going to have their batch of Resilience, and then when it runs out, it runs out. If they choose to brew another one, because it went so quickly to contribute more, that it was amazing. Because, I mean, like we said, all the proceeds go to this relief.
It's phenomenal.
Fund.
Also, something you said before that I was wondering is, since some brewers are taking the recipe that they were given and then adding to it or changing it a little bit to suit their customers and to suit their own style, does Sierra Nevada care about that? Does it not matter because it's for this amazing cause? How does that work in the craft brewing world, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, the spirit of the batch of beer. The spirit okay. of this entire thing is to help those that are affected by the campfire. So the original idea being that everybody brews the same beer and can enjoy it in all the brew pubs across the country is a wonderful idea. But if we tweak it a little bit in that same spirit, that's okay.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, they're still getting the money, which is the important part.
Yeah, I just didn't know if somebody, you know, if they have, if that's their recipe, yeah. if there's some sort of feeling about it being changed.
Yeah, if they change it enough where they go, ooh, if this is a good beer, can they, it would be on, and most brewers aren't going to do that, to keep somebody else's recipe that they've just tweaked a little and then put it under another name and brew it themselves, right? That would be kind of shifty.
Well, so.
For lack of a better term.
So there are a dozen other breweries in the Chicagoland area that have participated in this as well. So, and one of them being Dovetail Brewery.
Right.
And they, when they opened, said they were never going to make an IPA. And it's kind of cool to have them participate in something like this. And, you know, they tweak it a little bit to fit their German style focus.
Yeah.
So. While it's not quite the resilience IPA that the recipe called for, it's still within the same spirit.
And I know we're going to switch to your new brew in a second, but I have another question. Everybody keeps talking about how the craft breweries of the country are sort of a network, and you guys are always communicating
community.
With each other. A community. How? There are so many of you. This initiative is such a great idea, but how did over 1,500 breweries get involved? How do you...
Does somebody mimeograph a newsletter? Is there a zine?
Yeah.
How do you, guys how do you communicate?
Like a group text? What's going on?
You know, with all many trades in this country and around the world, you've got we have the Brewers Association. They're a trade guild that helps with communication and furthering our efforts as a community. So...
Wow, that's so cool.
All right, we're not going to have a full time, so we're going to, if you don't mind, can you stay a little bit after the news?
Absolutely.
All right, but first, we have a couple minutes, so give everybody a background of Haymarket Brewery. How long have you guys been making beer? And I know you have, if people go to haymarketbeer.com, you have a philosophy. There's a couple kinds of beers that you specialize in.
Yeah, so Haymarket, we are 8 years old actually tomorrow.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you. We opened
Christmas
up
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
That's a wild day to open.
Yep. When, you know, as everybody who's ever opened a restaurant and gone through delay after delay, once you get that green light, you open.
You
up.
Open. Whenever
we
it
were
is.
Very fortunate to for all of our friends and family to come out on Christmas Eve 8 years ago and support us when we opened our doors. So. Very fortunate.
Been there 8 years, and what's the beer focus?
We specialize in hoppy beers. We also specialize in our love of classic Belgian styles and the marriage between the two. So you'll see Belgian IPAs, Belgian pale ales as well.
Triples, doubles.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. Yep. Very nice. And for those who don't know, it's right at the corner of Halsted and Randolph. Huge corner building. You can't miss it. Right there in the oh, did you, 8 years ago, that was not as trendy a strip of real estate as it is today. You guys have really, I mean, it's got to be nice for you to go, wow, we were here. And now that's a destination strip.
Yeah, very lucky to have the space that we have. It was, at the time, the largest, cheapest place to put a brewery. So,
yeah, 8 years later, probably not the story.
No,
it would not be. It not be the cheapest.
Definitely a different neighborhood from when we first went in.
All right, I got to ask you this because I bring this up a lot. When you guys say Haymarket specializes in hoppy beers, is there a point of oversaturation with hops? Because you know as well as I do, you get some brewers who just the more the better. I'm going to put in so many hops, it's actually going to be thick. It's the beer is not going to pour anymore. You're going to have to ladle it out. And is there a point where you know, the hop flavor and the hop, the scent of all, it reaches its peak and more just, it doesn't do anything for the beer.
Well, I mean, we focus on hops for their aromatic qualities and their flavor qualities. Okay. Hops, when you utilize in beer, give those two plus the bitterness quality.
Right.
So a lot of late additions in the boil will accentuate the aroma and the flavor Which is what we aim for.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. We're going to do the news. Michael Gemma is here. He's the Director of Operations for Haymarket Beer Company. The Haymarket Pub and Brewery is at 737 West Randolph. Haymarketbeer.com is the website. If you go there now, get a Resilience IPA. No matter what else you order, sit down, get a sandwich, get a pizza, have some food. You know, if you want to have one of your favorite beer over at Haymarket, have it after you have a Resilience, because that is helping out the victims of the fires in California. Haymarket has a new release that is coming out. Is it tomorrow for the anniversary? Or when's it?
When it's out now.
It's out now. All right, we'll talk all about that on the other side of the news. Brian Noonan, Molly Noonan, Roger Badish, Michael Gemma. Everybody's here. Michael Gemma, everybody is here. It's Christmas Eve Eve on
WGN. Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. And when it's dried and ready, oh, dreidel, we will play.
Da, da, da.
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. And when it's dried and
Brian
ready,
Noonan, Molly Noonan, Roger Badish is here, and Michael Gemma from Haymarket Pub and Brewery is here. Ariel breaking out. I said, listen, any holiday song is good. The dreidel song, fantastic. I actually, I played dreidel with my second grade class because we were studying all the holidays, and you can't just say, you know, it's not all Christmas. Hanukkah's come up, so we played dreidel. The kids loved it. And the nice thing about these dreidel, they must have been like junior teaching dreidels.
Okay.
They had the symbol, but they also had the word. So I didn't have to memorize the symbol. I just had to remember what the words meant. And so did the kids. And we put it on the, and they, oh, they loved it.
That's
they
fantastic.
Yeah, we played some high stakes second grade dreidel.
I've given you dreidels before. And,
I know.
And we played the game. And,
I know, but yeah. I didn't, your dreidels didn't have,
I didn't
know the symbols.
I didn't give you the cheat sheet on them.
Well, when you've never played, you need a cheat sheet.
I know. I'm sorry. Next time.
Much as if I didn't know anything about beer and I needed a cheat sheet. How'd you like that segue?
I was just going to yell out.
I've done this before.
That's why he's on the other side
of
that mic.
Michael Gemma is here. As I mentioned, he's the director of operations. Now, before we get into this award-winning new brew that Haymarket has released, Molly is having a crisis of conscience.
It's true. I don't like beer. And I want to. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to begin. I've tried many beers. I want to love them. I think it's a cool thing to like. I like craft breweries. I like the whole vibe you guys are putting out. I want to be a part of it, but I don't know how. So I'm wondering if there's a way to make a change. I'd like to like beer. How do I do it?
How can you make a non-beer drinker a beer drinker?
Well, let's start with what you do like to drink.
Okay. Oh, just I can name things. Honestly, I feel bad because I'm trying to think of things that would be in the same realm,
like
I guess. Like, I like ciders, and that's similar to beer, I guess. So, yeah, basically all ciders I really enjoy. But I have had fruity beers thinking that they would be the same. No, they're not the same. So
but you have a little bit more of that beer character as opposed to the fruit forward.
I don't even know enough to say, like, what I don't like. I think I don't like hoppy flavors.
The bitterness?
I think I don't like the bitterness. Yeah, I don't like beer.
See, and this is a problem. Molly takes after her mom, and there's a lot of people out there. Roger was saying he's not always a huge fan of the taste.
No.
I, unfortunately, or fortunately, have always had a taste for beer. So I don't understand this. My own daughter is not part of the cult. But there's a lot of people out there who want to come in. So what... If I come in with somebody, because I'm going to come in and have a Resilience IPA, I want to help out the victims of the fires, and I'm with somebody and they go, I would like to help, here's the money for a pint, but I don't drink beer. How can we switch people around? How can we bring them into the tent?
Well, every time that you go out and there are that many options, try a sample. Go down the line and just have a little bit. And see what you like about it, what you don't, and have a conversation with your bartender too, because they're the expert. They know everything about the beer that they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So you come to Haymarket Pub and Brewery, and we have flight boards for you if you wanted to do that, or if you just wanted to try out one on the menu. Like, we have a cranberry saison right now on tap, which is delicious. You can get a little 4-ouncer.
See, this is the thing. That sounds delicious. And every time, like, even when you were describing the Resilience IPA, you were saying it's, like, citrusy and piney. All of these words I love. All of these flavors
these
I love.
Words.
And yet, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to use any words that would sound like you're not a master, because you are. There's, like, an aftertaste, I think, that I don't really enjoy. And that's where it loses me, because I do like the core flavor of all of these different beers. I just don't like whatever comes next.
Well, I would say let's get you down to the pub. Let's run through some different styles and kind of narrow down exactly what it is that you'd like and you don't like.
Okay.
The Resilience IPA is definitely more of a West Coast style IPA, which is one we don't do a lot of at the pub.
Mm-hmm.
We love our hops, but again, more late additions, so you're focusing on the aroma and the flavor of it.
Okay.
That bitterness is really only utilized to balance out the malt sweetness. So we'll find a beer that you like.
Okay, I believe you.
Is there a style that's a better gateway for people who, or because everybody's tastes are different, what somebody might like that makes them finally go, ooh, I kind of do like beer. That's not going to work for
everybody's them. Palate's different. So that's the beauty of being a beer drinker right now, is there are so many different styles being offered and being created by the 7,000 breweries that are in our country right now. It's a good time to be a beer drinker.
Does it amaze you when you say that number? 7,000 breweries?
It's impressive.
It's impressive, and it's staggering to me that there's 7,000 breweries all doing fine work.
Now, Molly said that one of the things that kind of puts her off of the beer is the aftertaste. And I know I spent a lot of years in the coffee industry. Sure. And depending on where the beans are grown, what part of the planet they're from, how high up in the altitude they are and all that, makes the difference of the beans, the taste of the beans different.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to recommend a brew that would not leave that kind of aftertaste, what might that be?
Well, I mean, there are tons of different options. It sounds like the bitter quality is what you're really not a fan of.
Yeah.
So
get her a nice porter.
Yeah, we can go the chocolate.
Yeah, go dark.
The roasting.
Listen, I'll come. Yeah. I'll come down.
You'll try some
give
stuff.
Up. You plan. You block out 6 to 8 hours. And I'll be there.
You got a full day to bring one person into the tent.
I'll tell you, a good day to come is actually going to be Christmas Day. If you want to come by, we're doing dollar pints.
Whoa.
So even if you don't want to break the bank try a bunch of different beers.
Brian's there.
Well, come on down.
Call your uncle. Tell him we're not coming over.
You know what?
Since you're educating people now too, Michael, and we're going to talk about this new brew, but Sue has a question that you can answer. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue. Hi. I feel kind of stupid.
Don't feel stupid at all. No,
never.
Okay, first of all, Molly, I don't like beer either. But can somebody explain to me what an IPA is?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, it's an India Pale Ale. So an India Pale Ale is a style that was actually started in England. Hops are a preservative. And so the beer being shipped from England to India, to preserve that beer, they threw in a bunch of it, and it really kind of gave that bitter quality and became a popular style.
Okay, so it was all to preserve the beer so it didn't get spoil.
Exactly.
All right, very nice.
On the long journey.
Thank you, Sue. We had to put Sue on hold, so RL, you can, because there was some weird feedback on the phone. All right, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back, and we are going to talk about this new beer from Haymarket. Again, one of the reasons Michael Gemma is here, he's the Director of Operations for Haymarket Beer Company. Haymarket Pub and Brewery is at 737 West Randolph, haymarketbeer.com. Right now, if you go into Haymarket Pub and Brewery and you get a Resilience IPA, an India Pale Ale, you will be helping all the victims of the fires out in California. Sierra Nevada has started this program. They had employees directly affected, over 40 employees directly affected by the fires, and they put out a call. And 1,500 brewers, more than 1,500 brewers across the country, have put together this Resilience IPA. Every dollar that you spend drinking Resilience IPA will go to these victims. So go into Haymarket. But Haymarket isn't all, you know, listen, they're all for charity. They're all for helping their other people out. But they're all about making their own beers, too. And they have a new one coming out. But before we take the break, holy smokes, hockey fans, I hope you are paying attention, because I am going to send you to the Winter Classic. at Notre Dame Stadium. I have a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium this New Year's Day, which is a week from Tuesday. Leading up to the game, be sure to visit the Blackhawks Hockey House, which is now open at 333 North Michigan Avenue, just south of the Blackhawks store, and it's filled with one-of-a-kind team exhibits, exclusive Winter Classic merchandise, and much more. And oh, this is very cool, too, the NHL Winter Classic Park. It's a free fan festival in Millennium Park. You can enjoy games, food, and drink. Meet and get autographs from the Blackhawks. You can do that December 29th through the 31st. I have a pair of tickets, but here are the caveats. One, you're going to have to answer this question. Two, RL, you just hang up on these. But be these people calling? Premature. They're out. We don't know. I don't cotton to that. You have to be able to pick your tickets up here at the station either Thursday, the 27th of December between 9 and 5, or Friday between 9 and 2. So if you're not available to come to 303 East Wacker, that's our address, right, Roger? 303 East Wacker. Sure. If you can't come Thursday between 9 and 5 or Friday between 9 and 2, don't try to win the tickets because that's just wrong. But if you can come and you are the first person to correctly answer this question, then you will go and see the Blackhawks take on the Boston Bruins at Notre Dame Stadium. Should be a lot of fun. All right, here is the question. The Chicago Blackhawks are playing the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic. Those are two of the original six NHL hockey teams. What are the other four original six teams? 312-981-7200. If you are the first correct caller, you will be going to see the Blackhawks and the Bruins at Notre Dame Stadium. All right, more with Michael Gemma from Haymarket Pub and Brewery on the other side. It's WGN.
Send a volley, cheer on high. Shake down the thunder from the sky. New Year's Day, the Blackhawks are in South Bend to take on the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic. Chris Bowden's got your pregame at 11:30. John Weideman and Troy Murray with the outdoor puck drop at high noon. Cheer, cheer. It's a new year for the Blackhawks on 720 WGN.
You deserve the elegant, stress-free, magical wedding you've always dreamed of. You deserve unsurpassed natural beauty, ivy-draped limestone bluffs, cascading waterfalls, and a horse-drawn carriage. You deserve the breathtaking beauty and warm hospitality only found at White Pines Resort, conveniently located just 90 minutes west of Chicagoland, nestled in the rolling hills of White Pines Forest State Park. White Pines Resort boasts multiple exquisite outdoor and indoor ceremony and reception sites, along with over 30 years of joyfully hosting and crafting stunning ceremonies. You'll receive all-inclusive, full-service, delectable cuisine, dancing in the historic reception lodge, and overnight accommodations for you and your bridal party in charming, rustic, hand-hewn cabins. You deserve the enchanting wedding day of your dreams. You deserve the service and splendor that only White Pines Resort provides. Visit whitepinesresort.net and schedule your dream wedding today.
At Joe Rizza Acura at Orland Park, every new Acura in stock is always on sale. And with year-end savings going on now, you save even more. During the Season of Performance event, you can take home a brand new 2019 Acura RDX just $350 a month, or a new 2019 Acura MDX for just $325 a month. And with 0.99% APR on most 2018 Acuras, there's never been a better time to buy. Joe Rizza Acura on 159th Street in Orland Park. Visit RizzaAcura.com for year-end savings now.
Payments plus first month pay, tax, title, license, and doctor, up to 10,000 miles. 0% finance available on select models for 36 months. All finance offers qualified buyers with approved credit. Offer expires 12/31/2018.
Herpesinel works when you have a cold sore and works when you don't.
If you haven't tried this for cold sores, you're missing out.
Herpesinel penetrates deep to treat cold sores.
It really works. I apply it as soon as I have one.
Herpesinel also protects against certain triggers caused by the sun and cold with added SPF 30 protection.
I use it in the winter and in the summer to help protect against flare-ups from sun damage.
Herpesinel works when you have a cold sore, works when you don't. Use as directed.
It can be so difficult finding just the right gift for a guy. You know why? Because we don't need more socks or ties. So give a thoughtful and useful gift, and that's where Harry's comes in.
Harry's makes long-lasting quality products at a super reasonable price, and gift sets start at just $10. The packaging is great. It also comes with a 100% quality guarantee. If he doesn't love it, returns are quick and hassle-free.
As a special offer for you, our listeners, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set when you go to harrys.com and enter code Bill and Wendy at checkout. Now, this offer is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays.
Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle, German-engineered five-blade cartridges, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. Shipping cutoffs end this week, so you have to act now.
Just go to harrys.com, enter code Bill and Wendy right now, and get $5 off any shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com. The code is Bill and Wendy.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Classic Nat King Cole on us there. Very nice. Very nice. Brian Noonan, Molly Noonan, Michael Gemma is here. He's the director of operations from Haymarket Beer Company, Haymarket Pub and Brewery, 737 West Randolph. All right, we have a winner from for the big tickets to the Winter Classic. Tony is on the line. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good now.
Very good. All right, Tony, the question was, the Blackhawks and the Bruins are two of the original six teams in the NHL. Who are the other four, and who are they?
New York Rangers, Toronto Maple Leafs, Montreal Canadiens, and their arch nemesis, the Detroit Red Wings.
Very good. Yes, you are, and you're able to come down to the station Thursday or Friday to pick up your tickets?
Yes.
All right. Well, Ariel should have all your information. Promotions will be in contact, and you will be going to Notre Dame Stadium next Tuesday to see the Winter Classic.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Very nice. Well, have a great time, Tony. Hang on.
Merry Christmas.
You are very welcome. That's the enthusiasm you want when somebody wins a nice prize. You want them to sound like they're excited, right?
I'm excited for him.
I'm excited for him, too, because sometimes, Michael, we'll give something away and say, why'd you even buy it? Call back
another
time.
But not Tony.
Tony's ready to go. I like it.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of winners, we have a new beer from Haymarket Brewing Company. It is a beer that has been has won countless medals. Well, nine is a lot. It's not countless, but it's a lot. Tell us about this beer, and I'm excited about it because this is in my wheelhouse. This is the kind of beer that I like.
Yeah, we're really proud of this beer. It's the Defender American Stout. This recipe was created by Pete Crowley. He's our brewmaster owner. He's been brewing this beer for quite a while, and over the recipe's lifetime has won 9 medals.
Wow.
Since we've brewed it at Haymarket, it's won 2 gold at the World Beer Cup.
Wow.
Which is an international beer competition. And then the Great American Beer Festival that is held in Denver every year, it won gold in the American Stout category as well.
Congratulations, first off.
Yeah, thanks.
What sets an American Stout off from other stouts?
So American style stout is going to be more hop forward. So this one is got that pine, that citrus, and the aroma, but then it finishes nice and roasty, chocolatey. Mm-hmm. It's real fun.
Well, that's what I said to you because I love this time of year. I love stouts. I like porters. I like the darker malty beers. And this stout does have all of the regular stout characteristics, but that hop forward flavor, you know, when you first take that drink, it hits you. It's like, oh, there's some extra hops in this one.
Yeah.
It's very nice. So the Defender, so was Pete making this before he came to Haymarket?
He was,
or is this,
yeah.
So this is just something he brought with, and this is his pet project?
Yeah, you can't leave a good recipe like this behind, right?
So. Yeah, well, how does that work? Could be because some, you know, sometimes a brewer starts with another company, and then they either go off to start their own brewery or they go to work for somebody else. What's the politics of a recipe?
I'm going to defer to Pete on that one.
Okay, that's probably best.
He wants to call in.
Yeah, Pete, if you're listening, please give us a... Listen, I'm all in my rights to do that. So is this the first foray, or is this Haymarket's only foray into this?
So
the stouts and things like that?
No, not at all. We've been brewing this since we opened, the first year we opened. But this is the first time that it's available in cans.
Okay.
Which is what's really exciting about this. You know, the packaging portion of it, getting it out there to our fans that don't often get the opportunity to come down to the pub as frequently as they would like. This allows us to bring it to them.
As I was looking at the menu, and I went to haymarketbeer.com, of course. That's where I could see the menu and see what's on tap now. As I mentioned, I like the darker. And one that really caught my eye, this Marble Tree Cherry Brown Ale.
Yeah.
What is it? What's it, describe that for us. Because it sounds, from the description on the website, I'm like, ooh, yeah, this sounds
This is actually the brainchild of our chef, Chris McCoy.
Ooh.
He worked with our brewers at the pub to develop this recipe and just took kind of key components that he flavors that he really enjoyed and decided to make a beer. That's often how recipes kind of come to be, is you start out with an end product, an idea of an end product, and then you start working backwards with your ingredients to try and create that.
Okay. Now, we've been talking, obviously, all about the beers at Haymarket because, you know, with the Resilience IPA and all that. But a lot of other things go on there. Tell us about the food, because people like to eat while they're drinking.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a full kitchen, scratch kitchen, so everything is made in-house. I'd say about 95% of what we offer is all made in-house, focusing on our own sausages. We've got some amazing burgers, pizzas, all the dough is made in-house. So.
Nice.
Delicious.
So a wide variety there too to go on. Now, Will, I know on some menus when you go into a brew pub, they'll say, "Oh, this dish goes best with these kind of beers." Do you guys give those suggestions too? Because people, back in the day, beer was just you went down to the grocery store, you got a six pack, and now people want to pair them. Oh, I must have the right beer to go with my, you know, plum salad. Do you guys help them help people out with that too?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's a fun experience to be able to pair your beer with one of our dishes. Just kind of accentuates and adds to that experience. So,
there's music. There's all kinds of things going on at Haymarket.
Yeah, we have every Thursday night the Americana Music Series.
Yep.
Is a really fun opportunity. They're all free concerts, no cover. So it starts at 7:30 every week.
So come in, grab a Resilience IPA this week, and then have some other beers, and see some free music, get something to eat.
And then take a six-pack of Defender home.
There you go. Perfect. Well, you got them covered. You got them covered every which way. They're coming in. They're going home. They got it all. Michael Gemma is the Director of Operations. Haymarket Pub and Brewery is at 737 West Randolph. Go to haymarketbeer.com. Again, Resilience IPA, every dollar that Haymarket and all the other more than 1,500 breweries make from the sale of this beer is going to help the victims of the fires in California. So it is a worthwhile cause. Look at this. Beer actually affecting social change. It's not just for sitting around crying about your boss. It's actually helping people, which is a wonderful thing. And we're going to try to get Molly and everybody else who says they don't like beer, we're going to try to pull them into the tent, Michael. It's like a cult now. We got to convert people. We got to bring them in. Get them all excited.
Open arms. Come
on
down.
Exactly. And again, tell us the hours for the holidays, just in case.
So we'll be open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. tomorrow on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day we'll open up at 5 p.m., open till 2 a.m.
And you have a special going on Christmas Day.
And we have a special.
Day.
It's dollar beers.
Dollar beers on Christmas. Wow. Nothing says I'm going to see Santa Claus on my walk home than dollar pints. That's fantastic. Thank you again for coming in. It's a great cause. Congratulations not only to Haymarket, but to the entire craft brewing industry for pulling together and really doing some good work for people. So congratulations on that.
All right.
Hey, WGN.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the
good news is you only have one more bump. You only have to find one more Christmas song, one more holiday song. You're almost there. The challenge has been accepted. You're doing a heck of a job. You've got one more bump because we're out of here at 5:30 for Blackhawks pregame with Chris Bowden. Blackhawks taking on the Panthers, I believe, tonight. Yes. So that will be a fun game. All right. It is the final 24 minutes of the big broadcast. It's been a very special day here on the show. One, because we were here. So that makes it very special and unexpected. Two, because of my co-host, Molly Noonan. You may remember her from previous conversations on this station. So I decided when we were going to do this that we would do an Ask Us Anything. I've done these in the past, and they're all, you know, sometimes they're fun, sometimes they're excruciating. But I thought to myself, well, Molly's here, and people have heard about you for so long, and you're so fascinating.
Oh, they did.
I'm pretty excited
freaking
about this.
Uh-oh. Wow. Uh-oh. Pam, that was almost a cursey curse.
I said, That's not what I said.
I reserve.
See, but I don't curse.
Okay.
I find other words, so that won't happen.
All right. It's Pam Jones, Molly. She
Sorry
swears on
that.
The air.
Hey, that's Pam.
What... you know, I have just hit a wall. I feel like I'm catching somebody's cold here. And
oh,
like,
no.
Yeah, I have just absolutely hit a wall. So sorry about that, folks. I know that it's a family show, and I would never.
Yeah, but it's the Manson family, so don't worry about it.
Dysfunctional.
You can blame Schwani. He came in with a cold this morning.
See,
I know, right?
How does that make you feel that you get to go talk into that microphone in just a few minutes?
Hey. He swabs everything down.
Does
he swabs
I swab
the deck.
Down, yeah.
So we are going to do an Ask Us Anything, 312-981-7200. If you have a question for Molly about me, if you have a question for Molly about herself, if you have a question for me, it's a pre-holiday Ask Us Anything. We will let you delve into our lives. Now, we reserve the right to not answer. But you can let us know. All right. Let's see. Oh, we'll start with this one because not only is it a question for Molly, but it's a compliment to me. So it's very self-serving. Yes, I'm very.
What are the odds?
What are the odds that I'm going to do? Wow. Ouch. Ouch. And that's after one sip of an IPA.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting mouthy. That's how it works. From the 847, does Molly think her dad's funny? I think he's hilarious.
Yes, I do. I think he's very funny. I do. I think of course I do. Duh.
I don't know.
I think he's really funny. I think anytime I write something or create something that I want to be funny, his opinion is the most important to me. So, yes.
Thank you. Well, I think you're funny too, for the record.
Well,
so
I am.
There you
so.
Go. Wow.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Yes. But I mean, yes.
From the 708, is Molly humble? Absolutely not. No. From the 708, does Molly still live in New York? What does she do there? And does she miss New Orleans?
Specific. What's her street address? What's her phone number?
What's a combination to her bicycle line?
I live in New York. That's all I'll say about where.
One of the five boroughs.
I live in one of those guys. What was the second part? What do you do
there?
I am an office production assistant at the Dr. Oz show.
Now, have you met Dr. Oz? That's the big question. Yes.
A couple times.
Is he nice?
He's very nice.
What did he give out for his staff? She got to go to a big staff Christmas party.
Ooh. Backpacks, and they were embroidered. We got very nice, beautiful staff gifts. They were Lands' End backpacks in a heather gray, I would say, with a soft gray embroidery of the logo.
Wow.
Very nice. Very nice.
What'd we get from the station for Christmas, Roger?
Bupkis.
Yeah. Nothing. Nada. Not even a hi, how do you do? We got this one.
That's the song you should have played. I ain't getting nothing for Christmas.
All right. And so you've answered that. You work for Dr. Oz. You got a very nice gift. Do you miss New Orleans?
Yeah, of course I do. I miss New Orleans because I miss a lot of specific things about it, a lot of specific places, and a lot of, you know, good friends and little houses and all the things that I loved about New Orleans. But I'm excited to go back to visit.
You'll be back.
I don't
from
necessarily.
Mardi Gras?
Yeah, I don't need to live there full time, but I will be back from Mardi Gras. I love it very much. I am always going to be excited to go to New Orleans. So,
Rich from Brookfield wants to know who is driving home.
Who's to say, Rich?
Yeah, Rich.
Honestly,
some things remain a mystery, Rich.
Ariel just raised his hand. We're being chauffeured.
Yeah, Ariel's going to drive home. Yeah, he hasn't come in yet and partaken, but. Why did you give up doing stand-up? Did you lose your funny bone? Well, you obviously have not been listening.
Whoa.
No, I won. See, this is why I told you. Molly asked earlier if she, or Ariel said, oh, should I give Molly the text screen? And I said, no, don't give her the text screen because sometimes things come over. Yes, I lost my funny bone, texter from the 412. That's why I've never said anything funny. And who said I gave up stand-up? Just because I don't tour anymore. Anyway, here's one from a name you might know. Our good friend Chris Flanagan.
What?
Yes, she wants to know, how does Molly like the beard?
Good question, Chris. Thank you. Was I shocked when I first saw it? Yes. Do I think it looks better now that it's been trimmed? Yes. And I feel like it now I'm used to it, so I'm good with it.
So the beard works?
The beard works, yeah.
All right. Let's see. We have a call. From
dun, dun, dun.
Paula has a question for the Ask Us Anything. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, great to hear you. I just tuned in, so I'm heartbroken to have missed you. But I'm asking Brian, are you going to be on anymore in the next, so I don't miss you again?
Yes, I will be on the next 2 weeks, every day in the afternoon for Rokan and Anna Devontae's, except for Christmas. I am off on Christmas, but then every day during the afternoon, starting at 3, and then starting again in January, there's no sports, so we will be our Sunday show will be back for a little while.
Oh, that's great, great. I've been listening for a long time.
Well, thank you.
So Merry Christmas. Molly, I love the name. It's a family name in our family, so it's a great name.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Paula.
Merry Christmas. Take care.
Merry Christmas.
All right. So far, everybody's been nice.
This is fun. I always thought if I became a viral sensation, this is what I would want to do. Now, I've never taken a step to becoming a viral sensation. But sometimes when I watch a lot of BuzzFeed videos in a row, I think, wouldn't that be fun to have someone ask me questions on the internet? And now here we are doing it.
On the 50,000 watt radio station.
And we are on the internet because it's streaming at WGNRadio.com.
Dreams do come true. Okay.
Where I just saw they have, in fact, dropped the podcast.
The holiday podcast.
So that is on because if you're just tuning in, again, we started at 3. I don't know where you've been, but we didn't know we were going to be on today, so we came in Thursday and recorded a podcast that was supposed to take the place of us not being on today, but now we're on today, so you get double the fun.
Yeah, double the fun.
Find out how Roger bowls, find out about a lot of things.
Yeah.
What is Molly's favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite Christmas movie is the remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
Ooh.
Let me tell you this, listeners and question asker. Last year, I was subjected to watching the original Miracle on 34th Street, something I was excited about because I had never watched it before. It's not worth your time.
What?
Watch the remake or watch nothing.
Dylan McDermott and Elizabeth Perkins cannot hold a
candle. Dylan McDermott and Elizabeth Perkins.
No.
We're made for each other.
No.
I love that movie. I won't take it back. The question was about this lady.
Yeah.
and that's my favorite question.
She probably doesn't like it? Oh, it's in black and white.
No.
Ooh.
Roger.
That could be. The black and white could throw her off.
No. I love It's a Wonderful Life. That's in black and white.
Correct.
So, right. We watched the original Christmas Carol last year.
Yes,
we
watched
only
of all
part
Christmas
of it because we were terrified.
Alistair Sims,
the scariest Ebenezer Scrooge in the history of cinema.
Yeah, genuinely, that's not an exaggeration. We were it was terrifying.
Well, not we.
I said, Dad, is this not the most terrifying thing you've ever seen? You said, yep.
Well, sure, it might have, but I didn't turn it off. I can handle that. Mine is a tie between Elf and Bad Santa.
Okay, interesting combo. Bad Santa.
Have two different angles to the holiday.
That's why I like my bitter with my sweet.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, 312-981-7200 if you have a question to ask us. You can ask us anything from the 412. Is this the same 412? It is the same 412. Why can't WGN put a live camera outside the studio, talk to people on the street? Well, because we're on the 18th floor.
Yeah.
And they would have to, listen, if somebody can hover outside the studio, I'm going to find a way to talk to them. I don't care. Microphone.
Jetpack.
I put Ariel through the window.
I dangle
him by a rope. Whatever it takes.
Well, he's saying, sure, fine.
If somebody is standing outside the window.
Yeah.
I'm talking to that person. One way or another. It's not like the showcase where you just had to be walking down the street like a regular schlub and we could see you. Now,
we're
you got to jetpack it up or something.
Right. Plus, we were on Michigan Avenue in the old building, so you had a lot of people out there. Now, where we are, there's not that many people walking past the building.
No, this building doesn't have people walking by. The only people we see are the people whose windows we peer into in a creepy fashion while we're on the air.
I'm supposed to say that.
Well, all you have to do is turn your head, and the windows are right there.
Looking.
It's not like we have telescopes and binoculars. We turn our heads like, there's
a
Christmas
lights building,
in that apartment. That's nice.
Invest in some curtains if you live near this building.
Well, there's a lady wrapping her Christmas presents right across the way. Very nice. Let's see. Just got back from Manhattan. Glad Molly likes it. I'll take Chicago. If you had your druthers, which would you?
I would pick Chicago as well.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Chicago and New York are really similar. That might not be a widely circulated opinion. I think Chicago is just a smaller New York, but I am into that. So I would pick Chicago as well. I just, you know, I'm there to get some job experience. So, but yeah, I love Chicago.
You're doing very well. What's the worst thing about New York?
That's a great question.
That's why I'm in this business.
I don't know.
Proficient interviewer, wouldn't you say, Roger?
Transportation? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
I don't even know what you're saying yes to.
Well, I
said, should
you.
I punch you in the guts, Roger? Yes.
The, yeah, I don't like.
I never would. That's not a threat. HR, I don't want to end up in anybody's column.
I don't like the subway.
Moving.
That's true. I don't like,
the
I don't like the subway.
Is awful.
I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, it's so hard to get around. But it's so hard to get around. I'm exhausted every day on the train. And also, I'm all about people celebrating themselves and their person. Like, let your freak flag fly. Be your best self. But you know what? Keep it together when you're on public transportation. There's always one crazy, somebody's doing something crazy at any time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've worked all day. I'm already on a train that's being delayed for 7 hours,
whoa,
stuck in a tiny tunnel. And now you're going to friggin' dance? What are you doing? Sit down.
Ooh, let
I don't
her keep
like
going.
The subway.
She's on a roll.
She's
here.
On a roll.
Yeah.
So you don't like the subway.
No.
So that's the worst part.
Yeah.
What is the best part of living in New York, conversely?
You can get whatever kind of food you want at any hour. And I live right around the corner from a delicious pizza place, and it's insanely, insanely cheap.
It is very good, Crown Chicken and Pizza.
Shout out. If you're listening,
yeah,
I love you.
All the people at Crown Chicken and Pizza in Brooklyn.
All four
yo,
of you.
What up?
My guys, I love you.
Bears leading the 49ers 14-9 in the third quarter. Seconds remaining in the third. We'll head into the fourth quarter with the Bears on top. All right, let's take a quick break because RL is literally having some sort of heart attack. He's having an aneurysm because he's just pounding. Dean, listen to me. Frank yeah. Fontana, listen to me.
Uh-huh.
Everybody,
Ariel truly just disappeared behind the counter, like as
well,
if he had collapsed.
He's got his head between his knees. He's,
sure,
he's short of breath.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
He's like, everybody, listen to me. Why won't Brian? I'm a producer. For the love of God, I'm a producer at WGN. The host is supposed to listen to me. It's obvious you're new. But you're doing a fine job. You have one more Christmas bump to come up with. And I'll let you do that after we do this. On
DNTV.
Very nice.
He took a challenge.
He did
well. And then in the end, he friggin' crushed it.
He slam dunked
it. Amazing.
He brought it home. He LeBron James did. He King James the two-handed. Very nice.
I have to admit, unfortunately, that as I was walking out with our guest Michael from earlier, I asked him if he could suggest a final song,
oh, yeah,
and he told me this song. He said would be very popular with you, with everybody,
with you people,
with you people,
animals.
Yeah, with you people, you donkey smelling foul. Well, either whoever suggested it, you did a fine job, Ariel. I've been pronouncing your name incorrectly the whole time, haven't I?
You can call me Nancy.
No, I don't want to do that. I want to call you by your name.
Come on, man.
nice job. A couple more Ask Us Anything really quick. Brian, are you still thin? Your weight loss served as inspiration to many people. I've kept a majority of the weight off. I've got to lose a few more pounds that I gained, but of the 160 I lost, I think 130 are still off, and that's over 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's still there. I've slipped a little. Haven't been as disciplined in the last year as I was before, which was insanely disciplined. So now I'm trying to find that happy medium. But yes, overall, the weight is still off. So thank you for asking that. What happened to Christopher Michael? He was great. He was great. And he is, I'd imagine, he's still great. He was working at WLS for a long time. And I don't think he's not at WLS anymore.
I think
Roger,
they
know?
Had a shakeup there about 4-6 months ago,
yeah,
something like that. And I think he was one of the ones let go.
Let go. But
yeah.
So do you know what he's up to now?
I'm not sure. I do know he has his own production company.
Mm-hmm.
He produces a number of features that stations all over the country still air.
Christopher Michael, an angel that walks among us, as we used
right.
to say on Saturday nights.
That's right.
A wonderful man.
He trained me.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The first two.
Do you think he wears that as a badge of honor?
Huh?
You think he wears that as a badge
well,
of honor, or is that
way.
His private shame?
Here's the backstory, and real quick.
You know,
so,
we're coming up to the end of the show.
I know. So I used to work at Q101 back in 79 to 81.
Yeah, spinning the discs?
When,
the planners
no,
that matter?
No, I was doing news.
Okay.
And they fired 5 people from the news department all in one fell swoop. It was owned by NBC at the time. And so the problem was with me, I had been producing all these public affairs shows.
Yeah.
And when I was gone, they had nobody else to do it
in the public eye,
so they hired him to come in to produce the public affairs shows. So he knew me from back then, but I never knew him until I came to train 13 years ago.
You know about that. So, very nice. Yeah. So there's that. Molly, how's the food in New York? And has your pizza preference changed?
Ugh. I won't get into the pizza thing. Listen to the podcast. But if you
that is on this podcast.
If you are one of those people who says, do you like Chicago style or New York pizza, change your priorities, because that's a fake argument for fake people. Pizza is delicious in any way, and deep dish pizza is its own thing. I can't get into it, so no, my pizza preference has not changed. Okay. And the food's good. Yeah, I mean, you have every kind of food ever available to you. My favorite restaurant is a tiny Indian place in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. It is delicious.
It is delicious.
Yeah, we went there together. I don't know. I mean, send us a message if you want the deets. I don't want a line outside, so I'm not giving that away.
Quickly before we go, Ariel said, hey, I know I talked to your producer, and he told me what kind of stories you like. And so here's a story that I thought you might like, and you were absolutely right. Tesla has built a fart machine into its latest software update. Yes, this is how we go out the
at
eve
last.
Of Christmas Eve. It might be Christmas, but Tesla is gifting its fleet of drivers some extra special Easter eggs in its latest software update. Currently rolling out, the most pronounced of the newcomers is a playfully named, quote, emissions testing mode, end quote, which is effectively a fart machine.
Tesla
owners can customize. If you've got that much money, good for you. God bless you. Tesla owners can customize 6 different flatulent sounds, including short shorts ripper, the Falcon Heavy, a bit of SpaceX nod there, and the ludicrous toot, named after Tesla's vehicle's most powerful performance mode. There's also a boring one, which presumably isn't so bad. It's only safe to do it underground.
So if you have $1 billion and you were on the fence about what kind of car to buy next, and you love a nice practical joke, then Tesla is the model for you. Tesla is the brand for you.
Somebody from the 248. Brian, what's your Christmas wish?
Whoa.
I know, that's heavy. That's a heavy one, and I haven't thought too much about it. I want Molly to be happy and safe in her career in New York. I want my wife and the rest of my family to stay healthy. I want my friends, like Roger and my other friends, to have a great new year. And listen, if I were really sitting on Santa's lap and being inappropriate, yeah, I'd want to be on here every day.
That's right.
So there you go. But it's the other stuff that's most important. Notice I listed my own personal, my own private Idaho.
I wish we knew that question was coming so we could have played the clip of Will Ferrell on SNL or Steve Martin. Where
Steve Martin.
Like,
But
I'd want all the kids in all the world to have peace.
Sure. And I'd like $1 million.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this because this time we have to be on time.
No.
This is not Ariel bothering me. This is, I know the Blackhawks want to play hockey, and I know Chris Bowden is standing by to do pregame. So let's do this, and then we'll say goodbye.